Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Oh, I tell you, Jennifer, she is really a party pooper.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Really? Jennifer poops at parties? And people know this?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I poop at parties. But people don't know because I close the door.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Where does she go for it? Does she visit a water closet and make door of the open so people may see and smell things? To sound horrible.
The Fan.
New York streets will kill us a walk like Pistol Pete and Pappy Mason gave the young boys admiration.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague on a Monday afternoon. Looks like a beautiful day outside. Lots still to get to. Back into some football stuff. Poll questions to answer. How about the doozy that is Monday Night Football tonight? I mean, what, we got three combined wins in this one, right?
Yes.
Two win Niners, one win Giants.
I love how confident everybody is on one team, too. I'm like, really? You're confident in either team? This is Raiders-Niners all over again.
This is Raiders-Niners, yeah.
But I'm glad you're not hammering it home the same way you were on that one.
I'm all on the Giants. Let's go, baby. I don't know what the hell's going to happen tonight. I'm done gambling on bad teams. Okay, before we get back into some football stuff, you guys almost got in a fist fight before the show.
No, we did.
Can we have an airing of grievances here?
That's going a bit far.
Swag and Sprague were like face-to-face, chest up.
You can throw all the numbers you want in the world at me, and you will never convince me that Carmelo Anthony is worthy of anything with the phrase Hall of Fame.
The anger on your face is just fantastic. I love it. Can I poke the bear a little bit? Let's read some thoughts. Better you today. Text line 55305. Let's see here. of course he's a Hall of Famer. Remember, it's not the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame, not the NBA Hall of Fame. He won a title as a freshman at Syracuse. Another one, Melo, to me, is absolutely in the Basketball Hall of Fame, but if it was the NBA Hall of Fame, I don't think he's done enough, in my opinion. At college, the Olympics, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. Melo, a Hall of Famer? Hell no. Somebody said Carmelo Anthony is like the WWF version of Richie Steamboat Dragon.
Although I do appreciate the reference. That's amazing.
Somebody said he is, but he's the biggest loser and cancer to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Melo is about as close to being a Hall of Famer as Oregon State is to making the college football playoff this year.
Okay. Enjoy that. Wow. We're just really taking shots at Sprague.
Now, I don't know why is this conversation even around? Like, how did this even come up of Melo being a Hall of Famer or not?
I don't know.
Because he's not done. Like, somebody's going to sign him. Dumb, in my opinion, but somebody's going to give him another chance.
I don't know where it started, but I saw it a lot yesterday, and I'm not a huge Carmelo fan. It's just ridiculous levels of revisionist history on Carmelo Anthony, and nobody is displaying it more than the man to my right. And by the way, there's no point in arguing. I'm not going to convince him. He's not changing his mind. This would be like taking an MSNBC fan, making them watch Fox News, and seeing if you can convince them politically. It's never going to happen. So what's the point? This is a dumb question. He is a Pro Basketball Hall of Famer, Basketball Hall of Fame, Pro Basketball, whatever you want to put it at. He is absolutely a Hall of Famer. This is ridiculous. He is a top 20 scorer of all time. We're really not going to put the top 20 scorer in NBA history in the NBA Hall of Fame, the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame, or any Hall of Fame.
I think he was on steroids.
That's stupid. He's a 10-time All-Star. He's a 3-time gold medalist, and he won a national championship. And oh, by the way, he was McDonald's All-American. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame. This is ridiculous if you have any other opinion, because the last 4 years have not been great for Carmelo Anthony. He was the only reason.
Last eight? Let's go.
The last eight?
Let's go.
Who was the last player to lead the Knicks to the playoffs? Oh, it was Carmelo Anthony. They can't sniff it since he left. Let's go to Denver.
Well, he's only been gone for 2 years, to be fair.
Let's go to Denver, where he went to the Western Conference Finals. What were they before they drafted Melo? Oh, that's right. They were god-awful.
You kidding me? Dikembe Mutombo was pulling off 8-seeded upsets.
Yeah.
That was 94. And they drafted Melo in 03.
They had those awesome Skyline unis.
Them and Cleveland were awesome. They were the same franchise in the NBA before they drafted Carmelo. He took them in his rookie year to the playoffs.
What year did they go to the conference finals? 09?
That was 09. Yeah. It was the year that they would have faced the Magic.
That's right. Yeah. They lost to the Lakers in 6, yeah. I want to say. Was it in the conference finals?
Swag, is Mitch Richmond a Hall of Famer?
I'd give him more consideration.
That's the dumbest thing you've ever
said. See, here's where Swigard's...
So stupid. Is Alex English a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Carmelo is much more accomplished than him.
He's a compiler.
Oh, God. You're so stupid.
Here's where your argument would hold water.
You have no argument for those players I just named outside of just your feeling and how much you hate Carmelo.
Like, if the NBA had a Hall of Fame that was, like, on lockdown like it is in baseball and football, then I think there would be, like, a legitimate discussion because we're doing that now with, like, guys like Philip Rivers. Hall of Famer or not, right?
I mean, yes.
Right? But everybody's going to have a different, well, no, he hasn't won, or yeah, sure, you know, didn't win a big, whatever. Like,
he'd be T.O.
Sure.
I think he would get in third or fourth time around the ballot.
He'd eventually get there. But the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame, not to say it's a joke, but anybody gets in.
Like, yes, it is. It's the biggest joke, like, Hall of Fame in all sports.
Like, I had a good year in sixth grade, and I'm surprised I haven't gotten my Pro Basketball Hall of Fame invite yet. I figured Swigard's got his Lake Ridge Basketball Hall of Fame waiting. You know, that's just the way it kind of works, right? Don't if you play, like, if you make one shot in your career of high school basketball, don't you get an invite into the Hall of Fame?
You know who's in the Hall of Fame? Marcus Haynes. Do you know who Marcus Haynes is?
Yeah, big fan.
Swag, do you know who Marcus Haynes is?
Big Marcus Haynes fan.
Who do you play for?
The Harlem Globetrotters. Yeah.
I'm done.
Well, let's start setting the standard now. And
okay, now we should.
Let's set the standard with a player that I personally hate for no reason outside of him just not being a great teammate in the last 5 years of his career.
Why?
He averaged 20 points for 16 straight seasons. Do you know how hard that is?
Yeah, it's a long run.
I'm not the biggest Melo guy.
When you never pass the ball, it's
so
not hard.
It's so ridiculous, man. It's so ridiculous what we're doing to Carmelo Anthony. Because I get the selfish stuff, how it all ended.
He's earned every bit of criticism.
No, I'm not. Yes, I don't care about the criticism. I'm talking about the revisionist history and you acting like he's not been a quality basketball player in this league. It's ridiculous. He might have been the reason that they went and won the gold medal after that debacle that was Greece. You want to talk about the Denver Nuggets?
USA.
It's ridiculous to me, man.
By the way, the only reason the Knicks made the playoffs was because of Linsanity. Okay, don't take away that credit. All right.
Oh, okay.
That was all Linsanity.
Yeah, it was Linsanity.
Linsanity saved their season.
You're poking the bear.
Out of nowhere.
Really.
Here comes Linsanity sleeping on a couch in the postseason.
There's no point in arguing. I'd rather just Jason Swigard say I hate Carmelo Anthony. I have no actual view that's non-biased in this argument. I can't argue it, but he doesn't do that.
Somebody said Myers-Leonard will probably make the Hall of Fame. He was already in his high school Hall of Fame. He's going to get there.
He made the rafters in the Hall of Fame in high school. He'll probably do it in college at Illinois.
He's got four career blocks. He's going to make it. Don't you worry about Melo. That was fun. I don't know how that got brought up before the show, but watching you guys argue that, I really enjoyed it. I needed that. My Ducks lost. I just needed a little pick-me-up, and thank you, too, for providing that.
I'm glad Arnie Risen got in the Hall of Fame, and Carmelo Anthony can. I'm glad Bailey Howell got in the Hall of Fame, and Carmelo Anthony can't.
Why do they have the
George
loosest...
Yardley? I'm glad he's making it in.
Why did it never become the NBA Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
Like, why is it all? It's just the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Why?
Yeah, I have no clue.
Because you think it would be more, because they do that. Like, every year they'll have, like, the class that goes into the Basketball Hall of Fame, and there's always, like, three guys that I'm like, who?
Well, I mean, it includes women, it includes international players,
well,
all
I'm
that.
I'm okay with that, but, like, you would think there would be a special section for the NBA, like,
well,
the best of the best. Who gets to the
NBA?
Does
baseball recognize the international players?
No. So, well, if you come old, like Ichiro,
I know.
You have to play in Major League. It's the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame.
Right,
no,
but Ichiro.
The Pro Baseball Hall of Fame.
Oh, but they don't put those guys in. I think they have a section for the Negro Leagues of those guys to honor them.
Yeah, I don't think they have busts. There might be some recognition, like Sadahara Oh, the home run champ of Japan from way back, might have
like
some
a jersey in there or
acknowledgement
something.
Or something in there, but he's not getting a bust.
Yeah.
By the way, I mean, I probably know the answer. He wouldn't get in the NBA Hall of Fame, you think, right?
Who, Melo?
Yeah.
No. If it was just an NBA Hall of Fame.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Hell no.
Okay.
Not just no.
Hell no.
Hell no. See, that was fun. You guys feel better?
I mean, I feel the same. Again, there was no point in even talking about it with him because I knew he's never going to change his mind.
I love it.
His S-eating grin over there.
I'm
he's not going to change. He's going to die on the Melo hill.
Die on that hill, baby.
You don't like, hey, I'm with you.
I love dying on hills.
I wouldn't want him on my team. I'm just simply saying.
How would we react?
I remember watching him play his whole career.
How would we react in the next 48 hours if the Blazers scooped him up?
It'd be a very controversial move, but I'd be in on the experiment. I'm in.
Still? You'd still be in, huh?
Oh, why not? You know the entertainment we get from that if it blew up? And then what if it worked? Evan Turner's kicking it out. He's hitting jump shots.
The funny thing is like
if
this
it works. Well, Shea's keeping his job.
Yeah, that's true. Because there's been a groundswell on Twitter of people saying like, why aren't people respecting Carmelo Anthony? Like Evan Turner had a tweet and Dame retweeted it. And then Dwayne Wade had something and a bunch of people jumped on it. Like, why aren't people respecting Carmelo anymore?
Well, there's a valid question on that. Like, we want to trash the guy and criticize, I don't know, the style of play, how he still shoots mid-range and doesn't want to shoot threes as much. Fine. But, like, this acting of as he'd never been a true leader or a superstar or... I think it's going a bit far. I think he's turning into a scapegoat for a lot of people in the NBA.
Hey, we got good strippers in Portland, Mello. Let's make it happen, buddy.
People are really trying to get my goat.
Oh, they're going at go at Sprague at the Better You Today
Bill
text line.
Ambeer.
Bill Ambeer. Is he a Hall of Famer? Is Bill Ambeer in the Basketball Hall of Fame?
Give me a second.
I don't know. I wouldn't have put him in.
Hell yeah, Bill Ambeer should be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, as a WNBA head coach. Much more accomplished than that.
All right, let's get back into football.
I'm not seeing his name right now, okay. And I'm all the way into...
He didn't make it in? No Bill Ambeer? All right.
No. He was a good complimentary piece to that deal, but it was that was Isaiah and Dumars.
Is Chris Mullin a Hall of Famer?
He's borderline.
Yeah, racist.
All right, let's get back into football. What happened down on the farm on Saturday? Oregon State falls to Stanford. Cal, what a win for them. What does it mean for the future of both of those programs? Take a look at the rest of the Pac-12 slate we haven't got to yet. We'll do it next right here on The Fam. Hey, welcome back into the Cougs here, bottom of the hour. Also, Oregon, how you feeling about the status of the program? Got some poll questions on both of those, and we will answer them. A couple of Pac-12 games we haven't talked about yet. We'll start with Cal and USC. This was one that people were kind of circling, a big swing game. You know, Clay Helton down there trying to save his job. They were 5-4 coming in, and then Cal, who has looked much better as of late, they needed another win to get to bowl eligibility. And how about a 15-14 final? Neither team topping 300 total yards of offense. How about that for football in 2018? USC led 14-0 at the half. Cal could not do anything on offense. Let me see. I don't think they had, excuse me, they had two drives in the first half where they didn't go three and out. Cal did. They had one drive, they went 7 plays, 21 yards, and punted. And then one drive, they went 5 plays for 7 yards and then punted. Every other drive was 3 plays or less. One of them was a fumble, and then the half ended, and they were down 14-0. But they got a safety to open the second half. Then they got a touchdown off of the safety. Then they got a pick and scored another touchdown, took a 15-14 lead. They forced a bunch of punts for USC in the second half, and Cal, don't look now, is going to a bowl game.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations to Justin Wilcox and Cal. The play that they've had, I want to say for 3 straight games now, has been unbelievable, starting with the beatdown that was against Oregon State, 49-7.
Yeah, 4 straight games, and then they beat Washington.
That's right. They have responded really well. And it should be noted, too, if you missed this game, USC was going to go up 21, and that kid fumbled, I think, 10 yards or so away from the goal line. And Cal got the ball. They went down and scored. If they go up 21-0, I'm not sure Cal can respond because of their offense, but they were able to get that turnover. They were able to get to 15 points in the third quarter and then just basically blanket USC and that offense down. It doesn't matter who calls the plays for the Trojans. They averaged less than 1 yard per play in the second half. That was just dynamite defense by Cal. And to me, I would almost be wondering now with the jobs that are going to be opening. I'm not telling you I have any insight. I don't. Maybe Josh even texts me and says, you're an idiot. Justin Wilcox's name should be out there for better jobs than Cal. What he has done with Cal, even in year 2, if I'm a program that's maybe above that and I'm looking for my replacement, that's a name I for sure would not be overlooking. I think he can really continue to just grow at Cal, and you put him in a better program. I think he's got a great shot. So a hell of a performance by Cal and what they are able to do to USC. And I think that cemented Clay Helton's firing.
Well, I think the games you look back on, too, they're going to circle this year, was the Arizona game where they had a lead, gave up a couple of defensive touchdowns, and they ended up losing by a touchdown at Arizona. And then the debacle that was the UCLA game, which was close, but they just couldn't find any footing on offense. Turnovers again did them in. And then, as you mentioned, ever since then, they're 3-1 in their last 4. They closed with Stanford and Colorado, both at home. Got a chance to get maybe one more, maybe 2. Who knows with the Stanford game this weekend. But defensively, they're as good as it gets, and that's a nice turnaround, excuse me, in year 2 to make a bowl game. And then for USC, I mean, you mentioned it. That Clay Helton's got to be gone now. I thought there was a chance if he won and got to maybe 8 wins this year that he would save his job. But they have now lost 3 out of 4 at Utah. They got killed in that game. They lost to Arizona State with that third-string quarterback. They won at Oregon State, but that was even closer, I think, in the final score indicated. And then this one to Cal. UCLA, don't look now. They're playing better football. They only lost by a field goal at ASU. I think 31-28 was the final of that game. And then they closed at Notre Dame. There's a chance USC, if they don't win this weekend, misses a bowl game this year.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? To think about them not going to a bowl game versus what we thought just 2 weeks ago. We were talking about them somehow backdooring their way into the Pac-12 title game.
I mean, who you pick? I mean, I might even take UCLA this weekend.
Is it in Coliseum?
It's at UCLA. I don't know what that means, but it's at UCLA.
It's a rivalry game. It's hard to really say everything translates the same that it has been against other teams. There's a hatred here.
Wilton Spate shredded Arizona State on Saturday.
He did, and I think that gives Chip Kelly maybe an advantage here. Maybe the players in USC's locker room see dead man walking already, and they're getting ready for the next coach, whoever that is. But I'm not going to count out USC. But thinking about them losing to the Bruins and then Notre Dame, that really kind of blew my mind when I looked at some box scores last night, just kind of recapping the conference that was. They really could be 5-7 and not go into a bowl game. It's one thing to have a down year. It's another to not go to a bowl game. And he can tout Brian Kelly all he wants. He's not Brian Kelly. He doesn't have the assistance of Brian Kelly. And to be fair, he shouldn't have kept that job. I mean, that was kind of identified right away. He's not recruiting on the level. I don't care what USC's ranking is. Those kids have not been true four-star players that they've been getting. And now it's just about who do you go get? Do you stay in the USC guy mantra, or do you go outside and you try to go get a big dog away and say, hey, we are the face of LA. Who cares about Chip Kelly? We can be USC of old again.
Yeah, one name I've seen a lot of mentions in the last 12 hours or so, because it sounds like he's leaving and parting ways at the end of the year, is John Harbaugh is a name that I've seen a lot.
He's leaving, huh?
Him and Baltimore could have a mutual parting of ways at the end of the season.
Would he want to go to college,
and
though?
That I don't know, because I think John Harbaugh could get another NFL gig. He has a good enough reputation. He's well thought of in the league. So I think
Cleveland?
Cleveland's a prime. Yeah, he could just stay in the division. And that was the one, even with his brother, it was like, well, is he going to leave the NFL? And he had the alma mater tie. Michigan was different there. So we'll see what happens there, but it's hard to see Clay Helton keeping his job. And I think that's one, if you're a USC fan, you're almost happy with the way this season has unfolded. Cause sometimes it's better if you're just inching along as an average program, maybe it's not enough to fire a coach. You know, I felt this way in Helfrich's last year. It got to a point for me where something needed to be done, and I just didn't like the direction of the program. And I was ultimately thankful for a 4-8 season and a loss in the Civil War. Because if they end up going 6-6 or maybe 7-5 and winning a couple of those close games, does he get fired? Probably not. And I think if Clay Helton would have stumbled his way into an 8-4 record this year, maybe they make the case. Look, I mean, freshman quarterback, 8-4. This thing could get turned around. But if you really go south like they have, losing 3 out of 4, and maybe 6-6 at best, probably going to be your final record. It's good to have a down year like that if it means a coaching change is to come.
But see, to me, that's the difference, Dirk, between a good program and a great program. A great program identifies they have a problem, and they don't care what the circumstances are or where you finish. They say, we have a problem. You're not our solution. We're moving on here. And so, sure, maybe if Helfrich would have won.
But that doesn't always pan out well, though, for you. Like Bo Pelini's a good example of that. Nebraska hasn't won 9 games since he left.
No, but they finally have the guy that they like, right?
I think.
That was just 2 coaches removed. So, look, it doesn't happen right away, but USC has to do just staying the course is what I'm saying. That also is not ideal, because if you stay the course with Clay Helton, what are you getting? You're getting probably a top 20 recruiting class. You're going to get people talking about, oh, they got this 5-star kid. All right. And then the 5-star kid comes in. I thought Sua Cravens had a good tweet. It's not the USC of old. They get these 4 5-star kids. They're getting these 4 5-stars that are based on 7-on-7 football. And then they come in and they're soft as toilet paper. That's not the USC of old, right? Like, that's not the USC that you used to go watch and hope your team would beat. That's not the USC I used to go watch and hope my team would beat, or I'd admire watching on TV. They don't have that talent. Like, who's their best player? JT Daniels, and then...
I mean, some of their wide receivers, the Pittman kid at wide receivers.
Okay,
is done.
Maybe he pans out. Like,
they got
right
that
now,
safety from Oregon who they stole out of the state.
What is his?
I can't remember his name.
Crescent Valley. Yeah. I mean, sure, they have some guys, but right now you can't clearly identify the second best player for them. And that's a problem when you're at USC. I did see one story from the LA Times that Jack Del Rio, because of the USC crap and him linked to Lynn Swan, I think that would be a big mistake. You need to just go get the best coach. You got to stop with this alma mater stuff.
Yeah, stop with the alma mater stuff. I don't know about NFL retreads either. I mean, Jack Del Rio, John Harbaugh is, I guess, a different one. That guy's won a Super Bowl in the last decade. So that, to me, carries a little more water than Jack Del Rio does. He just got canned by the Raiders. So I would think about this.
I'd put, you know what I do? I put the pressure on Ohio State.
Go after Urban Meyer?
No, I go after Ryan Day.
Ah, Ryan Day.
You better make your mind up. I mean, that's what happened at Syracuse. Jim Boeheim had picked a coach in waiting. He didn't want to move. I believe that coach is now coaching in Washington,
if I'm not mistaken. Huskies head coach.
So there can be some danger there in not kind of pushing a guy out. Not that Urban needs to be pushed out, but you put the pressure, or maybe you go get a Brom for Purdue.
Sure, that could be another one. Yeah, Matt Campbell at Iowa State's the name that's going to get
banned
around a lot.
Matt Campbell at Iowa State's a good one as well. Or maybe you go real creative and you try to go different offense or different program than you've ever had. You try to go Leach. You try to go guy, what is his name, at Utah State. They're scoring a bunch of points. I don't know what USC's ultimate answer is here, but I feel like there's obvious names that aren't it. And like Jack Del Rio is one of them for me.
Yeah, it feels like that just has failure written all over it.
We need them to be good. I know we don't like them.
Yeah, it's fun
to
enjoy.
Be good.
Fun to enjoy them losing, but ultimately the conference needs them to get back because it's just better for the conference when USC is what they are. Even if they beat your team, it's just better from a respect standpoint. An interesting question to ponder, I just thought of, who's more likely to not be at their school next year? We'll answer this on the other side. Mike Leach at Wazoo or Justin Wilcox at Cal?
Oh, it's an easy question for me to answer.
Easy one for you to answer?
Easy, yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that. Also, Washington State gets the win this weekend. What does it mean for their standings? And then Oregon, how are you feeling about the coaching staff after they fell to 6-4 with a 32-25 loss to Utah? We got to answer those poll questions. Talk some more Pac-12 next. Hey, we'll get you all set for the doozy that is Monday Night Football. What a thriller.
Hooray. I almost just cried during the commercial break.
You almost cried during the commercial break?
You know what gets me is, like on this Veterans Day, when you watch those videos of people that surprise their family.
Oh, that gets me every time.
Man.
Yeah.
You relate to a lot of them, like a dad or a brother or a kid or whatever. You just like, oh, man, those ones will hit you right in the heartstrings.
That they will. The pet ones will get me, too. Like when the dog sees somebody coming back for the first time and the dog goes crazy, those ones get me, too.
I just saw that one, too.
They just go nuts, yeah. So it was an interesting weekend in college football on Saturday. Oregon losing to Utah, Washington State getting the win. We'll get back into both those in a moment. I did ask, though, going into break, what coach is more likely to still be at their program next year? Mike Leach at Wazoo or Justin Wilcox at Cal? Who do you think is more likely to bounce in the offseason for a job opportunity?
You know, I think because of what potentially could open up in 2 years, Wilcox to me at one more year at Cal with another year of experience with Garbers, assuming he goes with Garbers, they could maybe be one of those 8-win teams. Maybe they're 9 wins the way their defense plays. Mike Leach wanted out last year, right? Like, wasn't the writing on the wall. He was going to be at Tennessee. He was gone. I don't know what's going to open up in the SEC, in the Big Ten, the Big 12, what have you. But I think Mike Leach is the answer here. I think Wilcox leaves at some point, but it's Mike Leach. I think he wants out.
Does going 11-1, though, change his mind? Like, say they go 11-1 and win the Pac-12 this year.
No, and the reason is because who's his quarterback next year? Maybe that doesn't matter to some.
We said that this year.
Right, but
he's got a Heisman candidate.
But isn't this that you're playing the Oregon game, though, here a little bit, in the sense of you can get a Vernon Adams. That doesn't always mean you're getting Vernon Adams. You end up with Dakota Prukop. So we don't know if he's going to have some, maybe there's a kid on the roster we don't know about. Maybe there's another transfer quarterback, but I don't know how many times you can bank on that quarterback stepping up and giving you production on the level of Minshew or Falk. And that's why you put that with the Tennessee offer. I think he's gone. I think he loves Washington State. I think he'll always have a soft spot for Pullman. And I think Washington State fan, it's going to hurt like hell, but you just thank him for everything he was able to accomplish. There's a ceiling though. And if this season's teaching us anything, if they run the table and they win the Pac-12, right now it's not looking like they're getting a playoff. So if he's wanting to go to a playoff, maybe he just views Washington State with a ceiling, whereas he might view fill in the blank with a higher ceiling, a better opportunity to get in the playoff.
Yeah, both those guys are going to be on radars. That's all I know. Mike Leach.
Who would you bet on?
The Mike Leach one's interesting. I don't know. With the year that he's had, I don't know if that, because it did feel like there was a ceiling before this year. Now, the playoff, to me, that's a different conversation. But they kept knocking on the door for the Pac-12 North, and they couldn't knock it down. And I do feel like this is the year that they knock it down. And so I think that might change his mind a little bit of thinking like, all right, well, why would I want to go to a place like Tennessee where maybe if you win, you're a 6-7 win coach or maybe 8 wins occasionally at Tennessee, you're going to get fired. Like, dude, if he wins the Pac-12.
But is he ever going to be worried about finding another gig?
No, but if he wins the Pac-12 this year and they go 11-1, 12-1 and say they go on to win like a Rose Bowl, dude, that guy's going to get a lifetime contract in Pullman.
Right, but he's probably going to make more money somewhere else. And I'll argue this. He leaves Pullman dirt. Let's say, who's a school that could fight? I don't know. Fill in, what's an SEC school you think could be available?
South Carolina. What the hell?
Okay, for argument's sake, South Carolina opens. He takes it. He fails in 3 years. Guess what? Whoever Washington State hires, I have no faith they're going to be able to continue what he did.
You think he just comes back?
Yeah, he goes right back.
Game?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. That's an interesting one. I think both of them will be on radars, though. Because Paul
Riley. Go, leave, come back.
Just do whatever the hell you need.
Be Pullman's son.
We did talk about that Washington State game because one of the comparisons that I think they've had this year is with another one-loss team in a subpar conference without a your quality benchmark win, and that is with Oklahoma because Oklahoma has squeaked by their last two games, barely winning again this week and giving up 500 passing yards to Oklahoma State. And so we asked this one on a neutral field, who do you take? Just this Saturday, playing on a neutral field, who do you take to win? 55% of you took Washington State over Oklahoma. So thinking the Cougs can win that one. The other thing to continue to watch with Washington State, they got to get through Arizona this week, and then, of course, it's the Apple Cup. But the Gardner Minshew Heisman candidacy continues to grow because he, again, was fabulous on Saturday. There was a great video of him putting the mustache on Leach after the game during the press conference, and we asked where should he fall on the Heisman ballots, and 60% of you say he definitely should be a finalist. I don't know how he's not involved. Like, if they, especially if they go 11-1 or 12-1, and I think they could win the conference. If they get past Washington, I will pick them to win that Pac-12 championship game. If they get there is no reason to not have him in New York.
I can't name 4 players that are more deserving than him. I can name Tua. I can name Will Greer. And then it kind of just goes up for debate. And for me, Kyler Murray, he's put up good numbers as well. And if they can run the table, I don't know. Maybe get 2 Big 12 guys in there with Tua. Gardner Minshew, to me, is a top 4 player. You have to give him... Look, again, I've said this about the team, and I think it translates all the same to the player. If it was Jake Browning or Justin Herbert, these guys would be in the New York conversation, right? Even if we didn't think the Pac-12 representative, Washington or Oregon or whoever, was going to make the playoff in the same way that Washington State is there, if it was those guys from those programs, they're probably going to New York. So for me, I don't think this is a debate. I think he has had a phenomenal year. I think he is the reason that they've been able to maintain and keep with just one loss, even though I don't like the one loss they were given. And I also don't think you beat California. I don't know. I don't think Luke Falk does what Gardner Minshew did late against California. And if Minshew continues to put up numbers this weekend, and then if they can somehow pull off the upset against Washington, snap that losing streak, and you're in the Pac-12 title game, I absolutely think you're deserving of going to New York.
Yeah. Yeah, he better get an invite. That's all I know. Because that was an awesome win, and he continues to play well. He just has to do it against the Huskies. That's the last one they're waiting on. Get it done against Washington in 2 weeks.
Well, and somebody said this, you know, a couple people said Cammon Cooper.
There's an Elite 11 kid on their roster.
Like, that's great that he's registering. They say, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, okay, I didn't know the quarterback's name that's not playing this year. That's my mistake. But I think you're fooling yourself if you don't think Mike Leach has been looking elsewhere. He was going to Tennessee until the boosters.
Yeah, that was an outrage. Yeah, that was. Remember that whole thing because they initially wanted Schiano, and then the Schiano stuff got drug up, and that whole process was terrible. And then Mike Leach was going to take that Tennessee job. It was a done deal, and then everybody nixed it at the last moment. I think they fired the athletic director, didn't they? I think the AD ended up getting
canned after the Leach debacle.
Before he was going to hire Leach, and they stepped in.
He jumped on a plane, remember? And they said no, and he had to fly back. How many programs in this conference are like jobs you don't leave for, right? Like USC's there. Washington, would you put them in it?
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, even with Oregon right now, and there's no disrespect, you have your tiers, there's no doubt. USC is tier 1. Maybe Washington's there. If they're not, they're right at the top of tier 2.
Yeah, it's just
with
the way
Oregon
it works.
And I'll put UCLA in there. And then you got everybody else. And Washington State and Oregon State, it's no secret. You win there, everybody's going to want you. That is not a place where more likely than not, you're keeping somebody long term.
Right. That's just the way it works. The Leach one, though, to me will be interesting just because I think if you reach that level that he hadn't been able to reach yet, you delve into like lifetime status. You're like Kyle Whittingham.
But he had that at Tech and he left.
He got fired at Texas Tech.
Well, okay, yeah, true. You're right. I'm wrong on that. But
to me, this is where
he had that at Tech.
Kyle Whittingham is, and I don't think he would have left Texas Tech if he didn't get fired.
See, I think eventually he sniffed to bigger programs.
Yeah, see, Kyle Whittingham to me at Utah is the prime example of this. Like Kyle Whittingham can go through because of what he's done and where he's taken that program and where they were before he got there. Outside of the 1 year with Urban Meyer that they made it, the undefeated season, whatever it was. Like Kyle Whittingham's not going to get fired at Utah. That guy doesn't even get along with his athletic director, and he's not going to get fired.
Right,
he can go 7-5, yeah. 8-4, and it's okay. You can survive. You just don't have that level of security at some programs.
Well, true, but we're also overlooking the religious aspect for Whittingham. That's a big factor, in my opinion, for him staying at Utah. I think Gary Anderson coming back and having his whole story probably puts things in perspective a little more. I just think there is an element to Leach that a lot of college football fans, media, and fan alike, they don't buy it as a legitimate system that can win on a very major level. And I think that's ridiculous because I think if you win in Lubbock or you win in Pullman, you've already proven that your system, it can be successful. But buying it at bigger programs is one that not a lot of people will give you credit for or give you the benefit of the doubt on. And at some point, I think Mike Leach is a very competitive guy and there's a prove it factor, right? Why else would you go to Tennessee? Well, Nick Saban's in Tennessee. It's hard to win in Tennessee. The expectation, he wanted to go to Tennessee, though, I think to really show everybody this is not just some gimmicky system that works in small towns. This is something that can work on a more major college football level.
Well, we'll see if he can get the job done this year, and then it's going to be an interesting offseason in the conference. USC likely needing a new head coach. We'll see what happens with Wilcox, with Leach. It's going to be a fun one to follow. In the Pac-12. We got another poll question on the Oregon Ducks and their coaching staff. We'll get to on the other side, also on the Blazers as well, plus a dynamite preview of that great Monday Night Football game. All of that is next, closing out the show on 1080 The Fan. So how much of the game are we going to watch tonight?
Not that much.
Not that much?
No, I'm going in for a killer workout after the show. Making dinner for the fam, probably doing some homework with a little daughter.
Do we have any other sporting events going on tonight that are worthwhile?
Yes.
Pelicans and Raptors, 4:30 on NBA TV.
That's okay. I was going to watch some college hoops. University of San Diego is playing Washington at 8 p.m. on the Pac-12 Network.
Ooh, a little scouting.
Oh, that's what you want to do tonight, huh?
Well, that after the Terry Porter Show next door on 9:10 at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, you get to see San Diego.
Hey, don't you take my rating, Swigard. I'm the 7 o'clock juggernaut on Monday nights.
Oh, you guys
okay?
are competing. That's
yeah, we,
right.
Swigard and Straight I go head-to-head on Monday nights at 7.
Now, who wins in a 2-on-2 battle? Newman and you versus Porter and Swag?
I would take probably Porter and Swag because Terry Porter played in the NBA.
No, I mean like in a fight.
Oh, like a fight. Oh,
would,
I think
why would
two
I ask
on
that
two
stupid question?
Yeah, I was like, Terry Porter's pretty good at basketball.
Who wins 2-on-2 in football, though?
There you go. I think we could take him. We could take him. in a fight, that's a tough one. I don't know. I think you would have to ask yourself, and so you'd have to solo out the matchups of who wins in a fight between
Terry Porter and Porter are fighting.
And Anthony Newman.
Yeah.
And I don't know who wins that fight.
Well, I think it's going to boil down to you versus Swag. who's a bigger biter?
See, the problem is...
Well, if he mentions Carmelo, he better run.
The problem is whoever wins, it doesn't matter who wins that fight between us, neither of us are going to be any help to the other.
You guys would be like stepbrothers. You hit each other in the head and knock each other out at the same time.
Dual knockout. Yeah, so that's going on tonight. You got some radio going on, 9:10 and 10:80 at 7. If you're into basketball, you know where to go. If you're into football, you know where to go.
This game's going to be heavily watched, and admittedly, it probably will be on my TV. Am I going to watch every second of it? No.
Is your boy Mullins going to get loose again?
Mullins is always getting loose. He's the next Brett Favre.
The combination of the broadcast crew tonight with this game...
You're
going
to watch
it. It's just going to make me... You know what?
You're not going to watch NBA. You're not going to watch anything else. You're going to watch this.
I got to think if there's anything on TV I need to catch up on. I'm only home for like 2 hours and I come back. It'll be on in the studio. I know that. The game will be going. I'm going to try and not seek this game out. I've already lost my fantasy. I've lost all my bets this weekend.
Dude, you watched Raiders-Niners. You're not going to watch this one?
Because I put money on the Raiders.
Put money on. Put a dollar on this game.
I'm not putting any money on this game. Three combined wins. That's your Monday night game. That crew calling this game is going to be atrocious. I do love the Nick Mullins fever that's going on right now after the way you played last week it has been kind of fun to watch. And don't forget, Odell Beckham said their epic comeback starts right now. They're going to win 8 straight and make the playoffs. Don't forget that. He said that last week. Win out. 9-7, postseason. Boom. Some poll answers for you at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. We asked, where did this one go? Duck fans, how you feeling about the coaching staff now that they are 6-4 after the loss to Utah on Saturday? 46% of you say still good, give them time. 38% say starting to get worried. And 16% of you say ready for changes. Fire everybody. Wow. 10 games in. Fire them all.
I went with the good starting to worry, though.
Yeah,
I do not think you can afford to drop to 6-6 on the year. And I you'll still get some people that think 7-5 was a big disappointment, too.
Yeah, you for sure will. And both the final games are winnable. One of them's at home. And then the other one, Oregon State, gave up, 600 total yards to Stanford on Saturday?
Might be 700. I don't know.
But it was on that one is on the road. So you got to solve that road woe. We will talk to Mario Cristobal tomorrow at 12:30, as we do every single Tuesday. I have a feeling I know how that interview is going to go, but I am curious to ask him about, he's going to say, tough, we're working there. You got to give it time. You got to continue to put in the effort.
See, and I'm kind of hoping, he probably would go that route. I'm kind of hoping we get a different approach though of I just want to hear how unacceptable it is and where he's at on the road woes. Cause he's been a part of it for 2 years now, an assistant last year. Now that coach. He's really experienced what the road woes have meant.
Yeah, they've won 2 road games in the last 2 years, 3 in the last 3 years, but he wasn't on that staff.
I'm just kind of maybe looking for a different approach with it. I don't know what that is exactly, but maybe a little different than let's just stay patient. You're talking to a fan base when you come on this radio show. You're talking to people buying tickets and selling them on why this is going the right direction. And after last weekend's game, the Arizona game, the way you looked against UCLA, I think there's people out there that have some doubts.
Yep, we'll see what he says tomorrow. I do want to ask him, too, just how long until he thinks he's going to have the depth to overcome some of this stuff.
Yeah, is it something you can make up if your recruiting class holds within a year?
If this is the class that you guys think it can be in 2019, can you plug those holes? Because I know their biggest holes are linebacker, wide receiver, and some depth on offensive line. And those are the 3 positions that they've recruited the best in this class so far. But again, you got to get those kids to sign on the dotted line.
Happy Veterans Day to everybody. And I don't care what side of the spectrum you're on. The way we treat our veterans is the most disgraceful thing in this country. Look no further than the fine people at the Salvation Army's Veteran and Family Center in Beaverton, and so we should be doing a better job on that.
That we should. We love doing that show every year and helping the folks in this community. Thank you all for your service. Hope you enjoyed the show today. As I mentioned, Mario Cristobal will be on tomorrow at 12:30. Phil Steele will join us at 1:00. We'll break down this vicious battle of Niners and Giants. Hot takes on that one.
We won't have any hot takes.
NFL true or false. It'll be a good one. If you miss any of the show, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. #1 is next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.